Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing? Good. Everybody's awake. Everybody's well. We're doing good. Cool. Excuse me while I brush out my beard. You know how sometimes you guys wake up and you have a bedhead? Yeah, well, that's exactly what I get when I wear a mask. My beard just like, I get a like, I don't know what you want to call it, like a mask beard? I don't know, but it's weird. Anyway, so... But I'm excited to be with you guys this morning. I'm excited to share with you the message which the Lord has placed in my heart today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Matthew chapter 9. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning, Matthew chapter 9. Don't worry, I'm getting my timer going. That way I don't go over time. But I don't know about you guys, as many of you guys know, we've been going through this series on the book of Matthew. We've been kind of going through chapter by chapter, and I don't know about you guys, this has been just an incredible series for me personally. I feel like every chapter that we have discussed, it has just been the Lord convicting me over and over and over again because of how relative it is to our day to day. In each chapter. So, Victor, I just want to say thank you for your leadership and just praying through what we go through. And this has just been such an incredible series. So, but today, like I said, we're going to be spending our time in chapter 9. We're going to be focusing on verses 35 through 38. But before we get to that, I just have a question for you guys. When was the last time you guys actually stopped in your busy schedule and you just, I don't know, looked up into the sky? Just looked at the clouds. Or you actually stopped and you listened to the nature around you. Because, I don't know, for me, it's not very often that I do that. And this past week, I actually had one of those moments. I was out working out, and maybe it's because I was about to die, but I stopped and I was laying flat on my back actually because I was out of breath. But I like looked up into the clouds and I remember thinking to myself, man, when was the last time I actually did this? And I just watched the clouds roll by. And it was convicting to me because we are in this culture today where busyness is the new normal. Where we have to be busy. And another convicting conversation I had was with my dad. This was back in the beginning of the first stay-at-home orders of COVID. And he said this to me. He was like, Josh, I don't know the last time I've actually stopped and seen so many different kinds of birds or heard the different creatures in nature. Or the last time I saw families riding bikes around a neighborhood or sitting in the front yard playing games or just sitting in a chair on their front porch. That's the kind of culture that we're in today where if society has essentially trained us that if we are not busy, that we are doing something wrong. That if we are not doing something for our children, we're not training them right. Where if we're not constantly filling our schedules, then we're just wasting our time. And what are we doing with it? But what we see here in this passage today in these verses is that it's okay to stop. It's okay to stop in your busy schedule to look around and see what is going on, whether it's to see the blessings or to see the needs that are around you. Because when we're busy and we're focusing on our schedules, we make it about us. It's about me versus about others. And that's when it's about us, it's contrary to the gospel. The gospel's not about you, it's about others and for the need of others. And so as I read through these verses, and man, it was really hard for me to pick a specific passage of scripture in this chapter because there's so much good things, there's so many good things in this chapter. But as I was reading through this, it made me stop and realize what Jesus... As I stopped and pondered on where I was in this life and where our society is, it made me think about what Jesus said here in verse 36. And it says that when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And when I think about where our society is and how as a result of COVID, you're starting to see the lostness of our world. People don't know how to respond. They have time on their hands to make it beneficial, but they don't know how to use it. And so you're starting to see people freak out, for a lack of a better term, right? You see people crying out for help, and they don't know what to do with this time. And so when I read this passage, it just reminded me of how we are all like sheep without a shepherd. So hear me say this. I'm not saying that I'm not trying to make a distinction between classes. I'm not trying to say that some people are sheep while others are not. What I'm saying is that we all are sheep who need a shepherd. The good news is that many of us today have found our true shepherd. But the reality is that there are many people out there who have not, and they are still wandering around aimlessly like sheep. And let me tell you something about sheep. If y'all don't know a whole lot about sheep, they're not very bright. Okay? I actually read an article about how there was a herd of 1,100 sheep in Turkey, I believe it was. Yeah, in Turkey in 2005 that literally followed one another over a 15-meter cliff. Because sheep follow each other. They really love the game follow the leader. Okay? So this herd of sheep in Turkey, one started going over the cliff, and guess what? All 1,100 sheep went over the cliff. The shepherds or the herdsmen at the time, they had no idea what to do. 400 of them died. And so that's exactly where our society is. We are sheep who are just wanderously, or who are just aimlessly wandering around, following each other, listening to different voices and listening to different leaders, but we're not following the true shepherd. So that's what I want to look at today and how we can actually respond to this. So my next question is in light of this information, what are we going to do about it? As those who know the true shepherd, what are we going to do about this when we look out and see lost sheep? Are we going to continue to be distracted by the things of this world and our society? Or are we actually going to be proactive and reach out and try to lead these sheep back to the true shepherd? Because that's exactly what Jesus commands of us here in this passage. So let's read this together in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. It says, "And Jesus went through throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Some translations use the words distressed or dejected. "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Let us pray. Lord God, as we look in this passage this morning and as we stop to think about where we are in our world, not just in America, but in our world, I pray, Father, that we will just hear the words that you will place in our hearts this morning of what we need to do to take action, to help guide the lost sheep back to the true shepherd, Father, and that is you. So, Lord, be with us this morning as we go through this passage. It's in Christ's name, amen. So there's three things I want us to see as we walk through this passage together. And the first one there is in verse 36. And the first point I want to say is that we must stop and see the needs around us. So as Jesus said, or as Jesus pointed out to us, is when he saw the crowds, okay? This is right after he just went throughout all the cities and villages and teaching in their synagogues. He literally stopped, turned, and looked at them. And he saw the crowds. How often do we stop and do this? We get so caught up in our mundane schedule and in the things that we feel like are necessities, the things that we need to do, that we don't stop and see those who are helpless around us, or those who are dejected or distressed. But yet we just blow by them. thinking that what we are doing in that moment is way more important than the soul of that individual who is lost. So we need to stop and see the needs around us. And not only do we need to stop and see the needs, but we need to respond to them. And Jesus demonstrates that exactly the way we need to do it here. And it says that he had compassion for them. That word compassion, by definition, is the sympathetic consciousness of others, together with a desire to alleviate their distress. Or another definition is that it's a sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. So it's not a matter of just stopping and seeing those who are in need, like, man, that guy's in need. All right, see ya. You know, just keep going. It's a matter of recognizing their need and for your need to help eliminate their distress or to alleviate their distress. It's for you to step in and to show love and to show care for them and to give them the hope that they need in that moment. It may be something simple. It may just be like, hey, man, I like your shirt. I don't know. Maybe he's just really distressed about his outfit today. Or maybe it's actually stepping in, giving them a physical lending of hand or financial need. So it's a matter of us responding in the moment of seeing distress with compassion. Not thinking that we are better than them in any way, but rather noticing that we are just like them. And that there are moments when we are weak and that we are weary, and that we ourselves even need help. And compassion. These are the things that we need to recognize in these moments. And that's in, and when you look back throughout all this chapter of chapter 9, we see this demonstrated by Jesus. Whether it's with the paralytic man and the four friends who lowered him down through the ceiling. Jesus was just there teaching, and then out of nowhere, this guy comes out of the ceiling. Jesus easily could have been, hey man, I don't have time for this. I'm teaching here. Can you come back in about 30 minutes or so? No, but he stopped and he looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. He didn't even just look at his physical need. He looked at his spiritual need, right? And then he goes on, and even with Matthew, the tax collector, he sees Matthew, and not only does he call him, but then he calls him, and Matthew goes and collects all of his friends. And Jesus said, he could have easily said, hey, I don't have time to actually meet all of your friends. I was only worried about you. But what does he do? He goes and he has a meal with them. And he shows compassion towards these men. And then even towards John's disciples and the Pharisees who approached Jesus about the fasting and how his disciples were not fasting. He says, what is his response? He says, hey, while I'm here, they don't need to fast. They need to spend as much time with me. Because when I leave, that's the time for them to fast. Right? And he continues on and with Jairus and his daughter and the bleeding woman and the two blind men and the mute man who was demon oppressed. Jesus stopped and recognized the need. And he just didn't recognize it. He acted upon it. He had a desire to show compassion. So when we see those in our lives that are lost, who need assistance or who just need a kind word, how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond with a hard heart or with a busy heart saying, man, I really could stop and help this person, but I really got to get to my dentist appointment or something like that? We can stop and see the need and respond in compassion. Because the things in this world are momentary, but the things eternal, that's way more important. After all, like I said, Jesus didn't come just to make himself known, but rather he came to really dig into our society and dig into the people of his life. He came to invest. He came to show compassion. He came for the proud. He came for the despised. He came to heal the sick, to give sight to the blind. And we are to go and to emulate Christ the best way we can. We are not only to show love to the lovable, but we are to show love to the unlovable. To quote a couple guys, Edward Hinson and James Borland, in their commentary, it says this. It says, "Too often, perhaps, we see the need, just as Jesus did, but do not allow the need to move us to compassion." That should weigh heavy. Too often do we see the need, but yet we don't allow that need to move us to compassion. That's selfish. Sorry if that stings, but guess what? That's selfish. And I'm just as guilty as anybody else. So don't think I'm up here preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself here. So we must stop and see the need long enough so that way the need will move us to compassion and to respond and to make a difference. So that's the first point. The second point I want us to look at is that we must stop. Not only must we stop and see the need, but we must consider our calling. We must consider it. And we see that in verse 37 here. And it says that he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." So it's not only just a matter of stopping and seeing the need around us and seeing that that our culture, our people are like sheep without a shepherd, and seeing that there's a need there, but rather it's a matter of us looking at it and considering our calling and how we are to go and interact with them and to respond to them. Because as Jesus said here, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the example I wanted to look at here is that I wanted to zoom in on the example that we see here by Matthew. So if you go back to verses 9 through 13. You see, the example set here by Matthew should be convicting to us. Because Matthew, as I said, he was a tax collector. He was a man that many people despised. Okay, tax collectors during this time, they were fellow Jews who were either ostracized or cast out, or they just rather pursued honor and glory for themselves, so they chose to work for the Roman arm or for the Roman government. And they were tax collectors. And they took advantage of their brothers and sisters. So the tax collectors were despised people. They often had to have Roman guards walking them to their booth. That way they won't get mugged or jumped or beat up by their fellow Jews. Okay? So when Jesus calls Matthew, this was a big deal. And what we see here is that Matthew actually says this: as Jesus passed by, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at his tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. There was an immediate response. However, I want you to take note of something. In this region in which Matthew was a tax collector, Capernaum, this is also the same place that Jesus lived after he left Nazareth. So this probably was not the first time that Matthew interacted with Jesus. He probably saw Jesus on a regular basis. He may have actually had a conversation with Jesus. We don't know. But I'm sure that he saw his miracles, and I'm sure he heard his messages. So though in this response right here, it's an immediate response, I'm sure that Matthew had time to think about whether or not he wanted to follow Jesus. Think about it. If you're sitting in your tax booth and you see this guy do his miracles each and every day, and you hear him teach and you hear him live among people, you're probably thinking about it on a regular basis. And so Matthew had time to consider his call. And he had a lot to consider. Like I said, he was very high up among the Jews, right? So like he had wealth. He had prosperity. He had a comfortable life that he had to consider leaving. But when it came time for him to answer the call or to consider the call, what does he do? He leaves everything behind, and he immediately follows after Jesus. And he devotes his entire life to Jesus. That's ultimately how we get the book of Matthew. Because he considered his call and he saw the need and he knew that the harvest was plentiful but the laborers were few. And he went on to do miraculous things for the life of Jesus, right? I mean, he walked with them. He did ministry with them. I'm sure he actually got to perform miracles. So for us, my question is, are you going to consider the call when you see the need? Because as Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Which leads me to the third point. And is that we must stand ready with great resolve through prayer when we consider our call and when we see the need. You see, because today is not much different than the time in which Matthew was called. There was a lot of sickness. There was a lot of oppression. There was a lot of things going on in their culture that were really dark and evil. And today is not much different. And so when we consider our call, there's a lot of things that we need to consider. Am I right? Lord forbid if we leave our house. Lord forbid if we choose not to spend $100 a week to go help somebody else, or whatever the case may be. So we must stand ready with great resolve through prayer when it comes to us considering our call and reaching the need. And Jesus talks about that here in verse 38. He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So we must be constantly in prayer over what the Lord is calling us to do, and not only for what he is calling us to do, but for what he's calling all of us to do. Church, now more than ever, we need to be praying for each other and what the Lord is calling us to do. Because let me tell you something, we meet here every Sunday, but guess what? That's not what we're called to do. It's a blessing, it's a benefit of being in the body of Christ, that we come together and we sharpen each other. But we are called to go and to make disciples of all nations. And if we are not doing that, but we are coming to church, then guess what? That's useless. It's pointless. Why are we coming? Is it so you can just check off your checklist, make yourself feel good about yourself, make you feel like you're actually proving yourself good to the Lord? But guess what? Even on our best days, we are nothing but filthy rags compared to the righteous goodness of who God is. So we must constantly be in prayer about how the Lord is going to use us and in what way. And again, look at all the examples that we see of this throughout this chapter. When we look at the four friends who dropped the paralytic man into the house of Peter. You think that it was easy for them? They literally had to lift him up on top of the roof because the doorway was so full they couldn't get into the house. They literally had to rip the shingles off the top of the roof so that way they can drop their friend, their paralytic friend, into the presence of Jesus so that way he could be healed. It took dedication. It took determination. They had to make a decision. And they did it. Just like Matthew, when he got called, He not only got called, but immediately went and gathered his friends so that way his friends can hear the good news of Jesus. That way they can interact with Jesus, so that way they can come to know Jesus in a very real and personal way, just like he did. And what about the examples that we see in Jairus, and also with the bleeding woman, or the two blind men, or the mute man? Do you think that they just by chance heard about Jesus? No. My personal opinion, I believe somebody specifically told them. They had somebody in their life who thought about them. The bleeding woman, who she was bleeding for 12 years. There had to be a person in her life that when they heard the good news of Jesus said, man, she needs to go to Jesus. Let me tell her about him. Or what about the two blind men? Sure, they probably could have heard that Jesus was around, so they decided to follow the crowd. But guess what? They're blind. Somebody had to tell them where Jesus was. Somebody had to lead them to Jesus. And then with the mute man, it says here in verse 32 that, or verse 33 that, no, it was 30, I'm sorry. But they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. Somebody literally brought him to Jesus. So again, what are we going to do? We must stand ready with great resolve and through prayer to allow the Lord to use us so that way we can bring the lame to him, that way we can bring the sick to him, the spiritually oppressed to him, so we can bring the lost sheep back to their true shepherd. So how are we going to respond? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So my prayer for us this morning is that we will be just like Jesus, and that we will follow his example, and that we will go just as he did, and as we saw here, verse 35, that he went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. That we will not just sit back and be distracted by our daily tasks, or that we will just think of what is best for ourselves, but rather that we will go and allow the Lord to lead us in the path of righteousness, and that the Lord will use us to bring the lost sheep back to himself. Because guess what? There are many thieves out there. There are many different voices out there who are leading sheep astray, who are leading them to the cliffs. Now, it's kind of a morbid thought, but that's the reality of it. But what are we going to do in response to that? Are we going to intervene? And are we going to step in and lead them back to the shepherd? Or are we just going to let them walk over the cliff? Because their life is just as precious as yours. For we are all children of the Lord. So we must stop and see the need. We must consider our calling and the needs around us. And we must stand ready with great resolve through prayer so that the Lord may use us in a mighty, mighty way for his kingdom. It's kind of funny how this even goes back to your message last week of what it means to follow after Jesus and the cost of it. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. But it's a life worth living. I just want to close with this verse, and we'll go into a time of invitation, or in this passage. It's John 10, 14 through 18. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Praise the Lord that we have a shepherd who has the authority to lay down his life and to take it back up. But most importantly, praise the Lord, we have a shepherd who doesn't just care for his own flock, but rather he desires for all to come and to be a part of his flock. So may we do our part in assisting that. So as I said, we go into this time of invitation. If somebody is here today and you don't even know what it means to have a shepherd, you don't even know what I'm talking about when it comes to the shepherd, now you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, I pray that today will be the day that you'll come down and that you will just seek what it means to have a relationship with the Lord. That is the most important decision you will ever make in this life, is to seek and follow the Lord. So if you're here today and you do not have that relationship and you are just, you don't even know what it means to have a shepherd, I pray that you'll come talk to me or you'll come talk to Victor and that we can help lead you back to the true shepherd. But if you're here today and you're just a lukewarm sheep, I guess that's one way you can say it, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I really need to get back on track, I pray that today, that today will be that day, that this time, now more than ever, will be the time that we will get our lives back on track and that we will truly open our eyes to the need of our community and to the need of our nation. Man, for the need of our nation. To proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus to those around us. I pray that we'll get our lives back on track, that our eyes and our hearts will be truly opened. So as we go into this time of invitation, if you have any questions or if you just need somebody to talk to, please come and talk to me or come talk to Victor. We would love to pray with you. Let me pray for us. We'll go into this time. Lord God, we just thank you so much for your truth. But Lord God, we just thank you so much for your love and for your compassion, that no matter how great we may think our sins are, they are just they're nothing compared to you. And that your love can forgive our sin because of your son Jesus, our true shepherd. So Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody here today who does not understand what it means to follow after you and to have a life that has been truly forgiven, I just pray, Father, that today will be the day that they'll make that decision. We love you, Lord. It's in Christ's name. Amen.